Welcome to the Quanta Science Podcast. Each episode, we bring you stories about developments in science and mathematics. I'm Susan Vallett. Sitting alongside the neurons in your enteric nervous system are underappreciated glial cells. They play key roles in digestion and disease that scientists are only just starting to understand. That's next.
It's season 3 of The Joy of Why, and I still have a lot of questions, like, what is this thing we call time? Why does altruism exist? And where is Jan 11?
I'm here, astrophysicist and co-host, ready for anything.
That's right, I'm bringing in the A-team.
So brace yourselves.
Get ready to learn.
I'm Jan 11.
I'm Steve Strogatz.
And this is...
Quanta Magazine's podcast, The Joy of Why.
New episodes drop every other Thursday.
From the moment you swallow a bite of food to the moment it exits your body, the gut is toiling to process this strange outside material. It has to break down chunks into small bits. It must distinguish healthy nutrients from toxins or pathogens and absorb only what is beneficial. And it does all of this while moving the partially processed food one way through different factories of digestion, from the mouth to the esophagus to the stomach, through the intestines and out. Marissa Scavuzzo is a postdoctoral researcher at Case Western Reserve University in Ohio.
Digestion is essential for life. It's just a really cool process, of course. It's really ordinary. We do it every day. But also, if you really think about it, like, it sounds very foreign and alien. Like, you're putting things from the outside environment into your mouth, and then your body has to figure out what to do, has to move it, has to sense it, and then take what's good from it and push out what's bad.
Breaking down food requires coordination across dozens of cell types and many tissues, from muscle cells and immune cells to blood and lymphatic vessels.
The gut is really complicated, which is why I love the gut so much. It's really, really an exciting area of research. I'm in a lab where everybody else studies the brain, and I always joke that, like, I study a more complex organ because there's more cell types. There's even other species present. You have different things coming from the outside environment that go through your gut.
Heading this effort is the gut's very own network of nerve cells, known as the enteric nervous system, which weaves through the intestinal walls from the esophagus down to the rectum. This network can function nearly independently from the brain. Its complexity has earned it the nickname the second brain. And just like the brain, it's made up of two kinds of nervous system cells, neurons and glia. Glia were once thought to be simply glue that fills the space between neurons. They were largely ignored in the brain for much of the 20th century. Clearly, neurons were the cells that made things happen. Through electrical and chemical signaling, they materialize our thoughts, feelings, and actions. But in the last few decades, glia have shed their identity as passive servants. Neuroscientists have increasingly discovered that glia play physiological roles in the brain and nervous system that once seemed reserved for neurons. A similar glial reckoning is now happening in the gut. A number of studies have pointed to the varied active roles that enteric glia play in digestion, nutrient absorption, blood flow, and immune responses. Others reveal the diversity of glial cells that exist in the gut and how each type may fine-tune the system in previously unknown ways. One recent study has identified a new subset of glial cells that senses food as it moves through the digestive tract, signaling to the gut tissue to contract and move it along its way. Sayeda Farenaik Fatahi is an assistant professor of molecular pharmacology at the University of California, San Francisco.
Glial cells, when they are stressed, it doesn't really matter what type of stress. It could come from many different sources. It could be an autoimmune situation. It could be genetic problems. It could be exposure to metabolites from the microbiome or diet or things like that. But no matter what the cause is, when they're stressed, they start to change their behavior in a way that would influence their entire tissue. So some of that behavior could lead to local damage to neurons, their neighboring neurons, but a lot of it could cause additional inflammation, recruitment of the immune system that would then cause accelerated inflammation and pain. So they seem to be really sitting at the interface of a lot of different tissue types and biological processes that could be connecting a lot of dots between different physiological roles.
Scavuzzo says understanding the different roles they play in the gut could be critical for developing treatments.
I kind of hope and envision in the next 30 years, we're going to catch up to glia in the brain. And hopefully this is the beginning of the glial cell renaissance in the gut, where we start understanding more about their diversity, their functions.
Scientists have known about enteric glia for over a century, but until recently, no one had tools for studying them. Researchers could examine neurons by picking up the action potentials they fire, but neuroscientist Brian Gulbranson at Michigan State University says compared to neurons, glial cells are electrophysiologically boring. Aside from a few reports that pointed to glial cells' roles in maintaining healthy gut tissue, they remained understudied and underappreciated. That changed over the last decade or so. Keith Sharkey, a professor of physiology and pharmacology at the University of Calgary, says new tools have allowed scientists to manipulate gene activity in glia or visualize them in different ways. He points to advances in the CNS, or central nervous system, field compared to the ENS, or enteric nervous system, field.
Whether they be chemogenetics, optogenetics, calcium reporters, all of those, in the same way that technology has driven studies in the CNS field, it's dramatically changed the way we look at the ENS. And of course, more recently with single cell transcriptomics, we've gained a greater appreciation of the diversity of enteric glia. And that has been quite transformative of the types of questions people can subsequently ask.
Thanks to some of these newer technologies, scientists now know that enteric glia are among the first responders to injury or inflammation in gut tissue. They help maintain the gut's barrier to keep toxins out. They mediate the contractions of the gut that allow food to flow through the digestive tract. Glia regulate stem cells in the gut's outer layer and are critical for tissue regeneration. They chat with the microbiome, neurons, and immune system cells, managing and coordinating their functions. They can also move between roles. They've been shown to change their identities in lab dishes, shifting from one glial cell type to another. That's a useful ability in the ever-changing gut environment. Even as excitement builds about glia in the enteric nervous system, scientists like Scavuzzo have fairly basic questions still to work out, such as how many types of enteric glia even exist. Scavuzzo became fascinated with digestion in childhood.
My mom was born with a congenitally shortened esophagus and has had lots of surgeries and long-term GI complications because of that developmental disorder. So I kind of grew up understanding this type of stuff is important, and the more we know, we can intervene better.
In 2019, Scavuzzo started her postdoctoral research at Case Western under Paul Tizar, a world expert in glial biology.
My first thing when I came to the lab was to try to find a method to look at the molecular diversity of glia, and I chose the hardest organ in the body, the duodenum, because this is where everything digestion starts really here.
The duodenum is the very start of the small intestine. The first year, Scavuzzo really struggled in trying to map out the individual cells in the gut, and the duodenum proved to be a harsh research environment. The bile and digestive juices of the duodenum degraded RNA, the genetic material that held clues to the cell's identities, making it nearly impossible to extract. But over the next few years, Scavuzzo developed new methods to work on the delicate system.
And that was our first glimpse into the diversity of these glial cells at a global level.
In June of 2023, Scavuzzo's team published a paper on the bioarchive.org preprint server that wasn't peer-reviewed. She reported her team's discovery of six subtypes of glial cells, including one that they named hub cells. Hub cells express genes for a mechanosensory channel called piezo-2, a membrane protein that can sense force and is typically found in tissues that respond to physical touch. Other researchers recently found piezo-2 present in some gut neurons. The channel allows neurons to sense food in the intestines and move it along. Scavuzzo hypothesized that glial hub cells can also sense force and instruct other gut cells to contract. She found evidence that these hub cells exist not only in the duodenum, but also in the ileum and colon, which suggests they're likely regulating motility throughout the digestive tract.
So it seems like our bodies have evolved to have multiple different cells that help to regulate this process because it's so important.
Scavuzzo deleted piezo 2 from enteric glia hub cells in mice, which she thought would make the cells lose the ability to sense force. She was right. Gut motility slowed, and food contents built up in the stomach. But the effect was subtle, which she says reflects the fact that other cells are also playing a role in physically moving partially digested food through the intestine. Scavuzzo says it's possible that each involved cell type could regulate a different type of contraction, or they could just be additional mechanisms that organisms evolved to make sure we could keep digesting food to stay alive. Scavuzzo says there are likely many fail-safes in digestion because it's such an important process. Vasilis Paknis is the head of the Nervous System Development and Homeostasis Laboratory at the Francis Crick Institute. He says the experiment offered clear evidence.
They showed that glia cells are detecting changes in force. Of course, the gut is an organ that constantly generates force, and neurons and glia cells are subject to various physical forces on them. So, for example, food coming into the gut exerts pressure on the wall of the gut, and therefore there are physical forces on the glia cells. And what is important in this paper is that glia cells can also sense physical forces.
And they do that through this mechanosensory channel. Then, having sensed the change in force, they can shift the activity of neural circuits to trigger muscular contractions. Paknis calls the study a wonderful piece of work. Hub cells are only one of many glial subtypes that play functional roles in the gut. Scavuzzo's new 6 subtypes add to those characterized in previous research.
In my studies, we've so far seen throughout the whole intestine, there's 14 different subtypes. A lot of them are only in one area of the gut because the gut has different organs that, although they're connected, they do different things.
More are likely to be discovered in coming years, each with new potential to better explain how digestion works and enable researchers to develop treatments for a variety of gastrointestinal disorders. Gastrointestinal diseases often come with a dose of pain, in addition to disruptive digestive issues. Eating the wrong food or too much of the right one can cause a stomach ache. Those gut feelings are driven by enteric nerve cells, including glia. Because glia are now known to control the activity of immune cells, they're suspected to play a role in many gastrointestinal disorders and diseases. This makes them good potential targets for treatments. Several years ago, Paknis and his group found that glia are among the first cell types to respond to injury or inflammation in the mouse gut, and that tampering with enteric glial cells can also create an inflammatory response. Paknis says in the gut, glia seem to perform roles similar to those of true immune cells, and so their dysfunction can lead to chronic autoimmune disorders and inflammatory bowel diseases, such as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease.
So glia cells definitely play a role in the initiation, the pathogenesis, and the progression of the various diseases of the gut.
Glia are likely involved because of their central role in communicating between the microbiome, immune cells, and other gut cells.
We have this phenomenon in the gut, and I'm sure it's not unique to the gut, but for everything, and certainly for disease pathogenesis, there are networks of tissues that are talking to each other and contribute to the pathogenesis or the tissue recovery without hierarchies, probably. You know, they all are very important.
Healthy glia strengthen the intestine's epithelial barrier, a layer of cells that keeps out toxins and pathogens and absorbs nutrients. But in patients with Crohn's disease, glial cells don't function properly, resulting in a weaker barrier and inappropriate immune response. Scavuzzo says different subtypes of glia can be functioning differently or dysfunctioning in a wide range of diseases and disorders where motility is impacted. Glial cells have also been linked to neural inflammation, hypersensitivity in the organs, and even neuron death. For instance, Brian Gulbranson and his team recently discovered that glia contribute to gut pain by secreting molecules that sensitize neurons. Gulbranson says this is likely an adaptive response intended to draw the gut's attention to damaging substances to dispose of them, which, as a side effect, causes pain. The findings, published in Science Signaling, suggest that targeting glia could help alleviate some of the pain created by inflammatory disorders of the gut. Neurogastroenterologist Keith Sharkey says these new studies in enteric glia will go a long way toward explaining many gastrointestinal disorders that researchers have struggled to understand and treat.
Enteric glia were kind of relegated to the sidelines for many, many years. So I'm really excited to see how these cells have evolved to become central figures in enteric neurobiology over the years.
Sharkey says it's becoming ever clearer that the neuron doesn't act alone in the enteric system.
The nervous system isn't naked. It's got these beautiful partners in glia that really allow it to do its thing in the most efficient and effective way. And these cells are equal in terms of their significance to our understanding of neural control. And in some respects, glia are rising above because of the enormously exciting new advances that have been made that realize that these cells have far greater capacity for things than we ever recognized.
Arlene Santana helped with this episode. I am Susan Vallett. For more on this story, read Yasmin Saplicolu's full article, In the Gut's Second Brain, Key Agents of Health Emerge, on our website, quantamagazine.org. Make sure to tell your friends about the Quanta Science Podcast and give us a positive review or follow where you listen. It helps people find this podcast.